Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Lemon Tree Hotels Limited's earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anoop Pujari from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Lemon Tree Hotels Q1 FY26 earnings conference call. We have with us Mr. Patanjali Govind Keswani, CMD, Mr. Kapil Sharma, CFO, Mr. Vishwapreet Cheema, President, Mr. Sanjay Rai, Chief Revenue Officer, Mr. Saurabh Sakdal, CEO, Fleur Hotels, Mr. Mayank Sharma, CFO, Fleur Hotels Limited, and Mr. Niket Sood, Vice President, Commercial Strategy of the company. We would like to begin the call with opening remarks from the management, following which we'll have the forum open for an interactive question and answer session. Before we start, I would like to point out that some statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature, and a disclaimer to this effect has been included in the earnings presentation shared with you earlier. I would now request Mr. Keswani to make his opening remarks.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on this call. I'll be covering the business highlights and the financial performance for Q1 this year, post which we'll open the forum for your questions and suggestions. In Q1, despite the headwinds faced by the industry due to the geopolitical tensions and COVID scare, Lemon Tree recorded its highest ever Q1 revenue. At 317.4 crores, our revenue grew 18% compared to Q1 last year. Net EBITDA grew 23% year-on-year to 142 crores, translating into a net EBITDA margin of 44.8%, which increased 178 bips year-on-year. Q1 26 recorded a gross ARR of 6,236, which increased 10% year-on-year, and the occupancy for the quarter stood at 72.5%, an increase of 591 bips year-on-year. This translated into a RevPAR of 4,523, which increased 19% year-on-year. The company's profit after tax stood at 48.1 crore for this quarter, an increase of 139% year-on-year. Cash profit for the company stood at 82.3 crores in this quarter, an increase of 51% year-on-year. The debt for the company stood at 1,658 crores in Q1 26, a fall of 206 crores or 11% vis-a-vis 1,864 crores in Q1 last year. The company has significantly reduced its cost of borrowing over the year to 8.01% in this quarter as compared to 8.8% in the previous year. Slide 17 of the investor presentation demarcates the gross debt, that is the borrowings from banks and the lease liabilities. The gross debt represents debt on existing properties and new strategic investments that the company has made on new developments. We continue making significant investments in renovations, business development, tech, and renewable energy. These expenses are incremental in nature, over and above the normal expenses, and are necessary to prepare our company to LT version 2 as highlighted in our 5-year plan. During the quarter, 350 rooms were shut for renovation, the majority of which were in Delhi, Hyderabad, and Bangalore. And we shall continue to spend on renovation into FY27 until the entire portfolio of owned hotels has been fully renovated and refreshed. Going forward, we are confident that once all these incremental investments are done with over the next 15 months, then firstly, the occupancy or ARRs or both will go up meaningfully across our entire portfolio, leading to a very significant increase in our owned hotel revenue. Number two, the renovation and tech costs will also drop significantly down to about 2 to 2.25% of the total revenue from 6% currently, with the upgradations also leading to a reduction in the repairs and maintenance costs that the company incurs annually. Three, the current investments made in renewable energy have already led to a year-on-year drop in power and fuel costs from 8.7% of revenue to 6.9% of revenue in this quarter, in spite of a 6 percentage point increase in occupancy. Over the next 12 to 18 months, we will continue these investments to achieve our target of 50% renewable energy in our own portfolio from 40% currently, leading to further savings. On the asset light side, in Q1 we signed 14 new management and franchise contracts, adding 1,273 new rooms to our pipeline, and operationalized 5 hotels, adding about 400 rooms to our operational portfolio. As of June 30th, 2025, the total inventory for the group stands at 226 hotels and 18,430 rooms, divided into 10,660 rooms and 116 hotels being operational and the rest in pipeline. Fees from management and franchise contracts for third-party hotels stood at 16.1 crore in Q1, an increase of 29% year-on-year. Fees from Fleur hotels stood at 21.3 crores, also an increase of 29% year-on-year. Total management fees for Lemon Tree stood at 37.4 crore in Q1 FY26. Although there have been delays in scheduled openings of managed and franchise hotels due to factors beyond our control, we are very confident of accelerated growth in our management fees going forward. With this, I come to the end of my opening remarks and would ask the moderator to open the forum for any questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Archana Gude from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congrats on very good set of numbers. So I have three questions. First, in Aurika Bombay, so there has been like, the occupancy has been pretty robust, but area looks slightly subdued. So what would be the management strategy on threshold level of occupancy post which we should expect area to take the precedence?
So Archana, as far as Aurika Bombay goes, our primary focus was on taking the occupancy to what we felt was a sustainable, ongoing level. And last year we did only about 46%, and this year we did about 76%, which means a 30% increase. Now, typically you cannot increase occupancy and ARR in a new hotel, both at the same time. So the normal strategy is build occupancy, and once you hit a sustainable level, then keep adding at higher rates and removing the lower rate business. So we are very much there. There has been a nearly a 50% increase in our corporate business with an increase in ARR in the corporate side. The airline business has also increased because obviously we needed a certain base occupancy there. And we have also focused on the non-negotiated or retail business. So that is why we have increased 30% in absolute numbers. And I expect that now going forward, once we've achieved what we would call stability, we will focus now on increasing the rates.
Sure, sir. Sir, again, on Aurika, currently we have just 4 hotels under pipeline and they expect it to be open FY28 onwards. So is that I'm sure these are the greenfield projects. So is it a conscious decision of the management to keep a check on the addition or this dearth of supply which fits the bill for us, for Aurika?
No, we will continue to focus on building hotels. But right now we have only 2 under construction, and one is fairly advanced, which is the hotel in Shimla, which is nearly 100 rooms. And the second one, which is 160 rooms in Shillong, we have started construction. So that too should be ready in the next 2.5 years. And I'm sure in the next, if you wait for a little time, you'll understand our strategy. Right now there are multiple things, balls in the air, but we are going to have a very accelerated growth in our entire portfolio, whether it is owned, leased, managed or franchised. And we are going to try and do it in a very risk mitigated fashion. So I can only give this level of guidance right now.
Sure, sir. But so my question was more of on the management contract side. I'm sure there are many hotels up for management contract, and is that there are lesser options for us which fits the bill of Aurika for us? What my question, sir?
So Aurika, we have right now got 4 managed Aurikas in the pipeline, which is in Kasoli, Rishikesh, Sasangir and Surat. But obviously we are going to look at getting more and more, but we are very finicky also about the quality of the hotel we would brand Aurika. So here is the problem. In India, there are very few upscale or upper upscale hotels which are unbranded. Most of the unbranded hotels are in the upper mid-scale and economy segments. So the runway for branding more Aurikas would really come from greenfield or brownfield projects, because most hotels of that quality are already branded by either an international or a domestic brand of high quality.
Mm-hmm. Right, sir. Right. And so my last question, when I look at the ADR for rest of India, it has underperformed the blended ADR. So whether the few markets which underperformed and how we should look at it going forward?
See, rest of India is basically a combination of, 100, well, not 100, but maybe 60, 70 hotel markets where we are present. And each of them has a distinct characteristic. So it's a function of demand supply in each of those markets. So technically, if I break rest of India down, there are markets that have grown, 15% in ADR, and there are markets that have grown zero in ADR. It's entirely a function of that micro market. So I would not really specifically, be able to give you an idea of why it is. This is a weighted average that you see. Obviously, our intent is to increase. But if you notice that, if you look at the ARR increase, in Gurgaon it has not been very high. In Bangalore it has not been very high. In Mumbai it is actually just 2% above, because, our focus was on stabilizing the occupancy of Aurika. Pune is 7% and the rest of India is 4%. But I am not unhappy with this, because we have achieved this with a significant increase in our occupancy also. And I think what one must look at is overall the RevPAR that we have grown by, which is 19%.
Right, sir. Sure. So thank you so much and all the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Karan Khanna from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon and thank you for the opportunity, and congrats on the strong RevPAR outperformance during the quarter despite external headwinds. Firstly, Patu, congrats on strengthening the senior management team. If you can just start with some thoughts on the recent senior management appointments and how this will change the growth orbit for Lemon Tree moving forward. And also if you can share some thoughts on your long-term aspirations for the company, and as executive chairman, how would you be looking to work closely with Nilendra and Saurabh in helping Lemon Tree move in that direction?
Hi, Karan. So let me explain. You may have also seen that we have said that a committee of directors has been set up in Lemon Tree and in Fleur to evaluate how we can possibly look at a transfer of assets from Lemon Tree into Fleur through a demerger scheme, and then automatically look at how we can list Fleur. So the intent is that Lemon Tree will then become asset light, a significant shareholder in Fleur, and will focus on management, brand and technology as a company, which is, I think, quite common to what has been global trends in this space. Fleur will become an independent asset company, a propco, and the intent of the leadership change was to get two very good people who would then run these two companies independently on a day-to-day basis. If you observe my role in Lemon Tree, since Nilendra will be taking over from October 1st, I have just taken an 18-month extension beyond that as executive chairman, as a executive director. The reason is I obviously want to settle in Nilendra. It is a listed company, and although he has run a very large operation, Adidas, he's been with Adidas for over 20 years, and his experience is, interestingly, just the kind of experience we need for growing Lemon Tree. However, he needs, I'm sure, some level of hand-holding, which is my job, so that he settles in quickly and understands firstly the industry, which is quite different from the shoe industry or the athletic shoe industry. And number two is to help him navigate how a listed company in India operates. What are the compliances, the regulatory oversights required, and so on. So really my focus is transitioning over the executive role to Nilendra and then focusing on strengthening Lemon Tree's expansion and asset-light growth and providing just generally a high-level strategic oversight and governance through the board. Now coming to Fleur, since the committee of directors has been set up in both companies, Fleur we hope to will become a listed company in the next by the end of next calendar. So Saurabh, who has worked extensively in transactions and in structuring of real estate across multiple asset classes and has great experience in that, Saurabh's role will be driving the asset-heavy growth once Fleur lists or even before. And my job then in that is, besides of course strategic oversight and long-term governance, is to also ensure a smooth transition and to guide and strengthen Fleur Hotel's expansion plans through a very structured capital allocation strategy, using technology to identify high demand areas where there is there is less risk and potentially high returns. So we will be focusing there on asset development or asset acquisition, leases, and with a very disciplined risk management framework. So that's the overview. Then to support Nilendra, we've got an outstanding set of three colleagues. There is Vishwapreet, who was running Intercontinental Hotels in India. There were 45 such hotels, 8,000 rooms with a very high degree of quality. He is there as president to run the operations and the revenue function. To support him, there is Sanjay Rai, who was formerly executive vice president sales and marketing of Oberoi Hotels, who is the chief revenue officer, and his deputy, Niket Sood, who was running revenue for Accor Hotels. And I'm pretty confident with these four supported by existing team, specifically Kapil Sharma, who is now also becoming an executive director. I think we will position Lemon Tree, for its version 2. And while we said we want to have 20,000 rooms, that is absolutely going to be exceeded in our five-year plan. I'm very pleased that there is this team in place to take this company forward. As far as this Fleur is concerned, with the proposed listing hopefully end of next year, we also have Mayank Sharma, who's worked with Lemon Tree for over 10 years. And he, as the CFO, working with Saurabh and with Sanjeev Jain, who has great experience in development and in projects. I think we are positioning both companies for, as I said, very, very accelerated growth.
Sure, this is quite helpful. Just a follow-up on this. If we talk about the pipeline of assets, right, so most of the hotels are asset-light currently with just two pipeline hotels on your balance sheet in Shimla and Pawan and Sikkim. How should one think about, let's say, future expansion within Fleur? Do we see that those announcements coming, let's say, after 18 months or whenever Fleur gets listed independently? Is that the right time to think about more announcements on the asset-heavy front?
No. Once we are going through this scheme, I think you will get a very clear idea of how we intend Fleur to be as a standalone listed company with its with investors who will be focused. We are actually even offering two options for any potential investors. One is the asset light side of the business, the brand business, which is Lemon Tree, and the asset heavy side of the business, which is Fleur. I don't think you need to wait another 16 months. I think we will be making enough interesting announcements in the next 1 year, which will give a very clear idea of where we think Fleur will go and really look at how we can increase its inventory enormously in the next 3 years.
Sure. My second question is on Aurika Mumbai, which seems to have done quite well over the last two quarters. Given that we'll start seeing T1 shutting down soon, and you spoke about taking price hikes here as well, help us reconcile how the demand would look like for this property in seasonally strong 2H, and what sort of an impact are you expecting owing to the shutdown?
See, as you have seen, Karan, we've hit about 76% in Q1. Now, what I want to actually tell everybody who's listening in on this call is that I was happy to see all our other hotels in the listed space had also reported good results. But one reason for that was that last year, it was due to some level of a base effect last year. Last year in Q1, it was very significantly affected due to elections and the heat wave. So normally, Q1 last year should have been at least 5% or 6% better than what it ended up being because of these deflators of demand. Now, in spite of that, this year it was actually going to be the reverse because Q2 will see a moderation. The base effect of last year, there was no base effect in Q2 last year. And this year, in fact, we have July has not been so good. Festivals, all the festivals which affect demand for business hotels or city hotels will happen in Q2 this year. And I know I'm not directly answering your question. I just want to put certain things in perspective, which is Q1 last year was very affected by multiple events. Q1 this year was slightly affected by the geopolitical tensions and the COVID scare, but nowhere near as Q1 was last year. In fact, this year, some of the stuff that did not happen in Q2 has flown into Q2 this year. So there will be, number one, a moderation. But in spite of the moderation, what we are seeing is in markets like where Aurika operates, and I'm aware that there will be some shift of demand to Navi Mumbai and so on. I am very sure that Aurika Bombay, and in fact that micro market of Bombay, will continue to do 80% occupancies north of 80% because if you look at the distribution of demand, that is still growing. So maybe some massive incremental demand will occur in Navi Mumbai with more and more passengers there. But keep in mind, there are 1,800 planes that are going to be operating in India in the next few years. So I just see growth in demand. I don't see a loss of demand in where Aurika operates.
Sure. And my last question, given you spoke about the trends in second quarter and also for Aurika Mumbai, but more importantly, what's the outlook for seasonally strong second half for the company?
Very positive.
Great. Thank you. Thank you. I'll come back to Nikhil. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vaibhav Jain from Macquarie Capital. Please go ahead. Mr. Vaibhav, your line has been unmuted. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes. Actually, this is Sameet Sinha here. So question for you, Patu. It's interesting. You're already pretty close to the 20,000 rooms that you have been talking about for the last few quarters, and you kind of whetted our appetite by talking about how you see how we should expect to see some accelerated growth in rooms and pipeline. So I mean, in that five-year plan that you mentioned, what are we thinking about? Are we thinking about 30,000 rooms, 40,000? Is that within the realm of possibility? That's my first question. Then I'll ask a couple of follow-ups.
Yes. It is in the realm of possibility.
Okay. Got it. Got it. Okay. So the Lenin's hiring was interesting. Can you talk about how his experience with retail and footwear, athletic footwear, fits in with your thought about Lemon Tree? Are we talking about more branding? I'm just going to stop there and let you answer that question.
Okay. Good. So Sameet, let me go back for a minute. Lemon Tree is basically morphing into an asset-light company, of course, with a significant shareholding in Fleur. But it will be basically focusing on brand, on management, on technology as an enabler, and of course business development to grow this portfolio. So one of the biggest markets, in fact not one, in my best guess, it is probably the single biggest market today in the world. It is the 2 to 3 star market of unbranded hotels in India. So let me give you some numbers. If I go to Make My Trip and look at their platform, there are roughly 14 or 15 lakh rooms in the platform. If I look at the cities where most of these hotels are, they are in about 180 to 190 cities in India, where about 85% of personal consumption expenditure occurs. These are cities of typically 5 lakh or more population. And while some of them are not so well connected, if you look at the plans for Vande Bharat trains, you look at the plans for the growth in airports in India, which we have a list of, and then if you look at the connections through highways, and I was delighted to read that Mr. Gadkari says that our target is now to build 100 kilometers of highways every day. If you put all these together, India is going to be super well connected, and I think we are at the early stages of a structural shift of demand into discretionary. Now, Nilendra has been in this specific area of branding, franchising. He was earlier the senior vice president, franchise, globally in Germany for Adidas. So he's run owned stores, he's run franchise stores. He has a very structured way of looking at managing scale. So if Lemon Tree is to scale up in an area which is currently totally unstructured, which is about 1.2 million rooms which are completely unbranded, we need somebody with that kind of a mindset and experience. So while he may not specifically have hotel experience, he certainly has the competencies required to lead Lemon Tree to its next phase.
Yeah, that's certainly some out-of-the-box thinking. Thank you for the explanation. So, final question. If you can talk to us about the rooms that have been renovated over the last year or so, what sort of an increase in occupancy and ARR are you seeing in those rooms?
So, you know, before COVID, we used to renovate 1/6 of our hotel rooms every year. So it was a structured process by which every 6 years a hotel would be renovated, and we would try and close inventory such that it would not significantly affect our ability to fulfill demand. Unfortunately, in 2019, two things occurred. One is we acquired another 1,000 rooms, which was Keys, and we opened four hotels in Lemon Tree Premiers in Bombay, Calcutta, Pune, and one Red Fox in Dehradun in our own portfolio. So that added another 700 rooms. So really, our inventory increased from 4,000 rooms to 5,800 rooms straight away. Now, COVID completely disrupted the renovations we would have done to the older hotels, excluding these three, and the renovation we planned for Keys. So the next 3 years, or actually I should say 4 years, really went towards surviving COVID and then repairing our balance sheet. Once all that happened, and of course opening Aurika Bombay and stabilizing Aurika Bombay. Now once all that happened, we had to do what is called a catch-up. So typically we spend 1.5 to 1.8% of our revenue every year in this 1/6 of the hotels, renovation. But in order to do a catch-up, we had to practically triple the amount invested. Though our revenue went up, still, from a revenue basis, we are spending, I think this year we'll be spending, how much, couple, about 100 plus crores? 100. So when you see, interestingly, when you see our EBITDA margins, they have shrunk by another 4% because of the investments, other than normal, because of the investments we are making in technology, in business development, and in renovation. All this will be over by next year, October. Then we will go back to normal. So really, in the next 15 months, we are going to continue renovating very large numbers of rooms. Now coming to the specific numbers of rooms. If I take out Aurika Bombay and the new hotels pre-COVID, which together account for about 1,400-1,500 rooms, we have to renovate 4,300 rooms. We have completed about 65% to 70% of that in the last two and a half years. And by next year, as I said, October, we will have completed all these. And then what you will see is a huge expansion in our EBITDA margins, because you will have new rooms, and wherever, even in Keys portfolio, the first fully renovated hotel was the Keys Pimpri. The ARR went up by, 1,300-1,400 rupees, and the occupancy went up by 10%. Now you're going to see it with Keys Whitefield, which is, it is a large hotel, it is 220 rooms. I think we've renovated about 170 rooms, and we will finish the other 50 in the next 1 year. Trivandrum, Cochin are undergoing renovation. Visakhapatnam will undergo renovation, and Ludhiana is complete. So that was the Keys portfolio. As far as the rest of the hotels go, we looked at, so out of those balanced 300 rooms, excluding the Keys portfolio, we really looked at where should we put in the maximum money to get the maximum return. So Delhi, Hyderabad and Bangalore were identified as where we have large inventory hotels which needed this uplift. I think we have completed about 70%, or no, not 70, 80% in Delhi. We have completed, I think, about 60-70% in Hyderabad, where we have about 700 rooms, and we have completed about 30% in Bangalore. So this is going to just go non-stop. At any given time, 350 rooms are shut. We typically take 2 to 3 months to renovate them. So on an ongoing basis, say in 6 months, we would renovate, this year maybe 1,200 rooms or 1,300 rooms. This will happen next year also, and then it's an entirely new portfolio.
Got it. Thank you very much.
And interestingly, just let me add, if you look at the increase in ARRs also, it is direct, you can see directly it occurring. For example, Delhi, now that we have managed to renovate so many rooms, the ARR went up 15%. Hyderabad, 19%. So you can see the direct linkage, that when we finish, then one of three things will happen. In certain markets where demand, where we felt from a brand perspective we needed to upgrade the rooms anyway, we did not spend as much as because we just wanted to, to ensure that the brand quality standards were maintained. But in some markets where we felt there was a possibility of, significantly increasing ARR and occupancy, we spent double the amount per room. So it's a mix and match. But the intent is ultimately to increase RevPAR and increase guest satisfaction and stickiness.
Got it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vaibhav Mule from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, team. First of all, congratulations on a very strong set of numbers. My first question was on our management contracts pipeline. So we have a very strong pipeline, and as just sir mentioned, there's a potential to reach 30,000 to 40,000 rooms in the long term. Do you think there can be an execution challenge while adding such aggressive amount of inventory, especially given many industry participants are highlighting that there are challenges on the manpower front? So do you think that can pose a challenge in future, and would that affect the flow through to EBITDA? That's my first question.
So, Vaibhav, let me go back. Challenges are always there when you are talking hyper growth, and we want hyper growth. So if you notice, the rate of signings is much more than the rate of openings currently, but surely in the next couple of years, the reverse is going to, the openings are going to also accelerate, because about 70-75% of the hotels we are signing are brownfields or greenfields. We are very keenly aware that we need trained staff for this. So we are trying to combine an approach which is both technology oriented and, identifying the future leaders of all these new hotels within our system. So that process is ongoing. we have multiple learning and development programs for general managers, for you know, for heads of department, and so on and so forth. So while there will be challenges based on our rate of growth, you know, we have also grown 30% a year, or I think more than 30% a year for the last 10-15 years. Keep in mind that we were, you know, 1,000 rooms 12-13 years ago. So I think we are quite familiar with that challenge. Now, as far as the flow through goes, it is, there is no risk to the flow through. Management fees will keep accelerating. And as I had, I think we specified in our Lemon Tree version 2 when we said we'll be 20,000 rooms, including pipeline, by 2028, I think. We will achieve that in the next 6 months, by the way, I think. That question that I was asked earlier, I think, by Karan or Samir, 30,000, 40,000, it could be any of these numbers. I hope, of course, it is. It is much more than what we have targeted. We are quite sure we'll be able to manage the growth. There will be hiccups, but I think our entire approach was, first, let's finish with our old portfolio. Let's get it cleaned out, renovated, fully staffed, improve the occupancies. As you can see, it is happening. Improve the ARR still more once the renovation is over, and then our entire focus will be on the asset-light growth and, once Fleur lists, also on the asset-heavy growth, where Fleur will raise capital and also go debt-free, I'm sure, in the next 1-1.5 years. So basically, the way I see it is Lemon Tree will be more or less debt-free in another, as a group, in the next 18 months. It will also have a large, it will raise, I'm pretty sure Fleur will raise a large amount of capital. It will expand in the asset-heavy side, and we will focus on managing hotels across the spectrum in Lemon Tree.
Got it, sir. My second question was on your tie-up with BCG for, revamping your technology website and your loyalty program. So has that exercise been completed, and have you started seeing any material benefit in terms of higher bookings from your website or from, benefit of your loyalty program? So, if you can share some color on that.
So, the BCG assignment was towards a digital transformation, and it was building a foundation of using technology to enable hyper growth. So, once BCG finished, it was more of a strategic level intervention. They moved on, and then we had actually moved this entire IP we created into a 100% subsidiary of Lemon Tree called Totally Fox Solutions, which is now fully manned. We've got data scientists, we've got user experience engineers, we have people, including two people, amusingly, from BCG themselves. We also have Ernst & Young working with us in this, and we have created a bunch of products. They are what we call MVP, means minimum viable products. Some of them have been launched in revenue management. Some have been launched at early stage in loyalty, but it's an ongoing process. So my best estimate is that the fruits of these entire investments in technology, which will include customization, personalization, loyalty program, predictive revenue management rather than, prescriptive revenue management rather than predictive, using chatbots, agentic AI, so on and so forth, which will help also reduce staffing and reduce training costs. All these will start rolling out, I think I'm told, from October this year, going forward into September next year. So the MVPs have been prepared. We are piloting it at multiple hotels. In fact, at any given time, 2-3 hotels have one MVP in place. So we are refining it, and I'm pretty sure that in the next 12 months, as far as our loyalty program goes and our revenue management, we'll be best in class. Now, loyalty, I think we have already increased the number of members. We are enrolling them very fast. So I think we have about 2 million members now. 2.1 million members already in the loyalty program. Our repeat usage is about 43-44%. So that's very encouraging for us, because what it really means is that if we open a new hotel, we are very rapidly able to move customers there who are part of our who are repeat members, and make that hotel break even very quickly. And that I think is an attractive proposition for any hotel owner from the asset life side. So all this is work in progress, and I think you will see a completely new Lemon Tree and Fleur in the next 15 months.
Got it, sir. Lastly, on Keys portfolio, so we have seen stable quarter-on-quarter numbers for Keys. I believe this is on the back of benefits from the renovated portfolio. So I just wanted to check, what kind of headroom do you see from the current levels of 63% occupancy and around 3800 ARR in the Keys portfolio itself? And what is the contribution of overall renovation expense we are expending into Keys portfolio currently?
So Keys is 930 rooms. We have identified high-value investments specifically in Keys, Pimpri Pune, which is over. We spent 10-12 crores. We have already spent, I think, 10-12 crores in Keys Whitefield, and we still need to spend another 8-10 crores. We have done completely renovated Ludhiana at 3 lakhs a room. So as I told you, if I split the Keys portfolio, the what is called the Bangalore and Pune portfolio is about 500 rooms, and the other 500 are in 400 and something are in these other markets. So what we are really doing is, in the markets like Trivandrum, Cochin, Vishakhapatnam and Ludhiana, our intent was to, because the hotels were so tired and old, our intent was, from a brand standards perspective, to just renovate them to minimum standards at 3 lakhs a key. And the others we would spend 8 to 10 lakhs a key, which is like Pune and Whitefield. So the average would be 5 lakhs across, 900 plus keys. So we would spend about 45-50 crores over 3 years in the Keys portfolio. What is our intent? Our intent is, and I have said this before, is that we want to take the EBITDA of Keys to between 60 to 80 crores, which means that we will need to take the EBITDA margin to about 50%, which means we need a revenue of 120 to 160 crores in Keys. And that would require, if you work back, our occupancy is moving to 75 to 80%, and the ARR is moving towards Red Fox levels, which is 4.5 to 5,000. So Keys Whitefield, the renovated part is already doing 4,500 rupees ARR. The Pimpri is doing 5,000 plus ARR, I think 5,500. So that is why you're seeing this gradual shift in Keys. And this EBITDA doubling is nothing. The base was very low. And our intent is basically to make 60 to 80 crores out of Keys by next year as a run rate.
Perfect, sir. Thank you so much for the comprehensive answers and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prashant Biyani from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, a question on renovation again. So by when are we going to complete the renovation for LTP Hi-Tech City, then Whitefield, Delhi Airport, LT Gachibowli, Key Select Hosur and Whitefield?
Okay, sorry, I didn't write it down. So let me start with Lemon Tree Delhi, Lemon Tree Premier Delhi.
Yeah.
Will be done by somewhere in the middle of next year, so maybe July, August. We have also renovated all the public areas, including the lobby, restaurants, banquets, etc. Now we get to Red Fox Delhi, which is also a very high earning hotel. I think we have done about 60%, so this will should get over by next year, and we are looking at converting it into a Lemon Tree hotel, because our colleagues in our revenue department say that if you rebrand it Lemon Tree, the possibility to increase rates by 15-20% will become very visible or likely. Then we go to Electronic City in Bangalore. We are going to rebrand it Lemon Tree Premier. Renovation is underway, but this will take about a year and a half to two. So we will renovate 75% of the hotel by next year. As far as Hyderabad goes, there were two issues. One was the renovation of Hyderabad. In public areas, we have completed 80% of that. And then were the rooms. I think we have done about 60-70% of the rooms, and I expect that we'll finish it all by next year. Red Fox Hyderabad is also likely to be converted into a Lemon Tree Hotel. It is also, I think, 50% renovated. We have to finish the rooms and the public areas. As a Lemon Tree Hotel, again, we will look at significantly raising the average rate once it is rebranded. Lemon Tree Gachibowli is going to be completed by 18 months. It is going, it has very high demand. We are not sure because of the room size whether we will call it a Lemon Tree Premier or retain it as a Lemon Tree Hotel, but either way, it will happen in the next 18 months. As far as Keys Hosur goes, this will continue. So this, I think, as I said, 80-90% of the portfolio would be renovated. Some parts like Keys Hosur would probably go into early 2028 calendar. But the point is the major investments in renovation will be over by H1 next year. And after that, we will revert back to that one-sixth of the hotels. So, and a huge drop in renovation expenses by about, I think, what would it be? It will be about 3% of revenue or 3.5% of revenue.
Sir, is there some delay in renovation due to high demand? Because previously we were about to complete major renovations by H1 of this year.
Never that. I don't think that was ever the case, Prashant. I always said it will take 3 years. See, okay. It's a balancing act. Like, I'll give you an example. Red Fox Hotel, we are renovating, I think, 30 rooms at a time. It takes about 2.5 months. When we released those 30 rooms about 2-3 weeks ago, suddenly there was a spike in demand for Red Fox. So we said, okay, we'll defer it for 2 weeks and we'll try and do a catch-up. So it's a balancing act. Sometimes we defer renovation when we have a very large block or some very exciting demand opportunities. But by and large, we obviously look at the trade-offs. That is, if I delay renovation, will it go into season? Will I have a loss there versus what is my benefit here? So this is basically displacement. In revenue management, it's called displacement. What am I displacing by doing this now versus later? And I think we are we've done a pretty good job. And I must say our renovation team has, generally always delivered on time.
Right. Sir, you have announced key management changes. What could be the flow-through of events for the parent entity as well as for Fleur, which can happen between now and listing of Fleur? One thing which you highlighted was a slew of signings for Fleur. Apart from that, anything else?
See, the thinking is very simple. Prashant, let me say, I'm just speaking, this is speculative, but let's assume we own 60% of Fleur. But our management fee income is typically 17-20% of the EBITDA. So when we own 60% of Fleur, it means we really get about 66-68% of the economic return. The 7-8% more we get is in management fees from the other owner, so to speak. Or to put it another way, we earn $100 of EBITDA, we take fees of $17. The remaining 83 is distributed to the shareholders, which is 60 Lemon Tree and 40 to APG.
Yeah.
Now the larger the amount of capital we raise in Fleur, while our shareholding may come down, our economic interest increases disproportionately. So it's really a return on equity that we get through management fee contracts in Fleur itself. So obviously it is in the interest of both Fleur. And our fees, by the way, are very, very common. I mean, are very standard. I mean, whether it is Lemon Tree or any other management company, the fees are generally at the same level. So it is not that we charge disproportionate fees. But our view is that the more we dilute in Fleur, and the larger the capital raise, and assuming it is deployed successfully, the management fees of Lemon Tree from Fleur will explode. It is already about It is this year. It is over. It will be over. It will be 150 crores this year. But there will be a time when it could easily be, if we do what we want to do, then it could be 300 to 400 crores just from Fleur in the next 3 years.
Sir, thank you for answering the questions and congrats to the new management team at both Lemon Tree and Fleur.
Thank you, Prashant.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pratik Oza from Systematics Group. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for the opportunity. One question first on your international strategy. I guess in the previous call you had stated that your international strategy is opportunistic and asset-like one, which is targeting Indian diaspora. So first is, could you share some learnings from your first international foray? How is that property performing? And is it serving as a successful template for future ventures?
Oh, yes. Pratik, it is doing very well. We have a hotel in Dubai. To give you an idea, 6 million Indians go to Dubai every year. 6 million. So I was reading, was it today or yesterday, in one of the financial newspapers, maybe Economic Times or Mint, that last year, calendar year 24, I think the government meant, there were 9.9 million arrivals into India, inbound. And they said 3 crore, 30 million Indians traveled overseas. So here is the a very interesting statistic. The number of foreign guys who come into India, and this includes, I presume, Indian diaspora, is one-third the number of Indians who go outside of India. So if we, it makes complete sense for us to follow where Indians go. We have a hotel in Dubai which is doing very well. We have, I think now we have a hotel in Nepal also. We have, we are going in the neighboring countries where there are a large number of Indians and where we feel we can provide a revenue uplift to those hotels by capturing loyalty members of our program who travel to these cities. So the long answer which I have given you is that it makes complete sense for us to go where Indians go without losing focus on capturing, obviously, the Indian market in India.
Got it, sir. The second question is, I guess on the other expenses which I am seeing, there is this delta of 8.9 crores. So just wanted a breakup of this. I mean, how much of this would be a discretionary spending, like marketing for launch of Infinity Pixel Go and new website versus non-discretionary or inflationary cost pressure? Just wanted to get an idea of this.
Just show me this. So, we are doing two things. Let me explain, which are also one-offs. Our technology OPEX is pretty significant right now. This year it will be 10 crores alone or 12 crores. We are also, during COVID, in order to ensure we did not lay off anybody, as a company we took a call that the top 20% of the company would take a big salary cut in order to enable us not to lay off anybody. So it started with me. I took a 100% cut. Senior leaders and colleagues like Kapil and so on took 75, 66. At different times, based on COVID, over two and a half years, there was a very large amount of salary cut from the top leaders. So basically, last year, this year, we are returning it to them. It is a part of the other expenses that you are seeing. And our intent is very simple that by the end of this year, more or less, we will have returned to every employee of our company whatever money we deducted from them in those 2.5 years of COVID. So again, this is an extraordinary one-off expense. And next year onwards, you will see it fall back to normal. Does that answer your question?
Yes. Thank you so much, sir, for answering your questions. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Jinesh Joshi from PL Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, my question is on Aurika Miles. I think you mentioned in the opening remarks that there was a 50% increase in the corporate business this time around, and the contribution from airline has also increased. So in that context, if the share of negotiable business has increased, do you foresee any kind of challenges in increasing the rate from here on? And also, if you can share what was the contribution of negotiable business in 1Q and the ARR for Aurika Miles?
I don't want to get into specifics because it is competitive information. I'll give you an overview on it, Jinesh. We did 512 rooms per day, which is 76.6% occupancy in Aurika in Q1 this year, versus 307 rooms a day, which was 45.8% last year. So that is why I said it increased by 30 percentage points. Actually, it increased by nearly 31 percentage points. When I look at the increase in occupancy was roughly 65% through the negotiated business, which is, say, 20 percentage points, and 35% through the non-negotiated business, which is 10 percentage points, and these percentage points were on the entire inventory. So the 30% increase was 20% because of negotiated and 10% because of non-negotiated. Now, when you increase negotiated business, the increase in rate you get is marginal. In the non-negotiated, we were focusing basically on filling the hotel during times when rooms were not full. So Aurika Bombay is already demonstrating the characteristic which many of our business hotels have, which is in the weekdays it goes full, in the weekends it goes light, which is why the average of 76 is an average. And for example, on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, the hotel is full. And then on a weekend, it could be 60% or 50%. So our target is that when demand is light from the negotiated side of the business, which is specifically corporate and some travel trade, then we look at filling it through OTAs and through our own website and other direct channels. And that does not enable us to increase prices in a low demand period. So broadly, that is the current situation.
Understood. And sir, if I heard you right, you also mentioned during the call that you have about 2.1 million loyalty members. I think in the last quarter, this figure was approximately 1.5 million. So we have basically seen a considerable jump over here. But can you share what proportion of your business basically comes from this loyalty member?
So here is what we discovered. You know, we also, during COVID, a lot of our systems and processes became more desultory, less managed. So we found that about 45% of our hotel's occupancy is repeat members. But of them, only 65% are loyalty members. So one third are actually using us repeatedly but have not been enrolled. So what you're seeing is a catch-up. In the last, in fact, 3-4 months. Niket came on board about 3-4 months ago. One of the challenges he took on board was that he would focus on increasing enrollment. And he and Vishwapreet and our leaders and operations have been focusing across all our hotels across India, including managed, on enrolling more and more, with a specific focus on enrolling anybody who has already stayed with us before. So this 2.1 million number is nothing. In fact, we think based on our database, we could hit 3 million in the next 1 year. And they will all be enrolled.
Understood. One last question from my side. I mean, if I heard you right, you mentioned that in FY26, our renovation expense will be about 100 crores. And some bit of renovation is expected to flow through in FY27. So can you call out what can that number be?
So this year, renovation is of two parts. One is OPEX, one is CAPEX. So most of the renovation of our non-Keys hotels is OPEX. Most of the renovation of the Keys hotels, funnily, is CAPEX. because there we are doing things of a long-term nature because these hotels are so run down. So typically I think 60-65% of our total expenditure is OPEX and the balance one-third is CAPEX. So this year actually we will spend close to 130 crores. And our OPEX would be, I would reckon about 80-90 crores. Yeah. I'm giving you rough numbers. Huh? And next year it will probably be about 70% of this. And after that it will drop to about 20 crores a year in OPEX. 20 to 30. Yeah.
Yeah. Got it, sir. Got it. Thank you. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sumant Kumar from Motilal Oswal Financial Services Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Badu. So my question is, when we see the growth strategy, we are adding rooms through management contract. So do plan for adding rooms through lease and rental basis also?
See, that is going to be a part of the Fleur mandate. Fleur is going to, so let me go back for a minute. See, when we manage a hotel, we take 17% of EBITDA. If we franchise a hotel, we take 10% of EBITDA. If we lease a hotel, we typically put in 10-20% of the capital value and we take 50-60% of the EBITDA. And when we own a hotel 100%, then obviously we take 100% of the EBITDA with 100% of the risk. Fleur's mandate will be to focus on at the right value building, buying or leasing hotels. Lemon Trees will only be to manage or franchise. Lemon Tree will not lease hotels once Fleur, the Fleur demerger happens.
So currently, whatever the pipeline we have, are we going to excel or increase our lease and rental model in coming years under Fleur? And what is the mix currently?
Yeah, 100%. See, the only thing is, by the way, you may have noticed, Suman, that we decided this quarter to explain what is, I noticed that some analysts were saying our debt to EBITDA is some, very large number. And I think they were just blindly adding the lease liability. Actually, the real number one should look at is our free cash flow. And the fact is that, our debt, only 60% or 65% of our debt is bank debt. The other is lease liability. And if we go forward and keep leasing hotels, then under the new accounting standards 116, you will see a big increase in our lease liability, the depreciation and interest that will also be applied on it. But this is all non-cash. So this will go to Fleur. The advantage of a lease I have personally found since we have a few leased hotels is we take, the capital risk we take is anywhere from 5% to 20%. In some cases, if we lease a building which is a shell, then the capital risk we take is 50%. Whatever the amount of capital we put, our share of EBITDA is disproportionately higher. So we have hotels, I can tell you, in our system where we have put in 1 crore or 2 crores, like Lemon Tree Banjara Hills. I think we put 2 crores totally.
2 crores.
And we get 5 crores a year out of it. So it makes 10 crores, we take 5 and or 6, I think. And it is obviously a very attractive model for us. And owner is interested in, what we try and negotiate is the minimum, the least possible minimum guarantee. And we are happy to share the upside of revenue share. So this is the way we see leases. We are going more and more aggressively towards revenue share and less towards minimum guarantee because, as I said, it adds to our liabilities or appears to add to our liabilities. So that is how Fleur will go forward. And in fact, that is one of Saurabh's strengths is the leasing transactions he has done across India.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from the line of Rajiv Bharti from Nuvama Wealth. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So with regard to Aurika Mumbai, so a couple of years back you had called out that your EBITDA margin would largely move in tandem with your occupancy. I just want to get a, if you can call out what is the EBITDA margin for that asset currently.
It is about 60%.
Sure. And sir, with regard to keys, we see that, you know, incremental margin is close to 100% on a YOY basis. But pre-COVID, we used to see that the non-room revenue used to be, you know, close to 35-40%, which is now 20% odd. Is there a plan to go back to those levels, or these are, let's say, the new levels at which it will work?
This is the new levels because, see, a heck of a lot of customers today order food from Swiggy, Zomato, you know, so on and so forth. And our focus is to actually maximize RevPAR. And if you maximize RevPAR, the flow-through is, as you can imagine, Raju, it is, you know, 85%, 90%. So if I look at keys and I say that the total revenue in Q1 was 24.4 crores, typically our revenue for a full year is about five times the Q1 revenue because of seasonality. So if this number is you know, an indicator, then Keys Hotel based on Q1 should do 120 crores, and that EBITDA margin, if it becomes 40%, should do 40. So I mean, this is I want to be clear. This is just an estimate by me. It's not a guidance, but the EBITDA margin will be north of 40 crores there. So when we finish the entire renovation, what I am interested in as in Lemon Tree is what is the EBITDA we do. I am not particularly bothered about how much F&B revenue we do because we are not really a five-star kind of company. This is more of a mid-market hotel company, and the main focus is to maximize RevPAR and therefore maximize EBITDA and therefore maximize return on capital, providing your asset turn is right.
Sure, sir. So with regard to your, this retail rate versus negotiated rate, now again, the retail rate is lower than the negotiated rate. And this used to be the reverse some time back. Is there a catch-up which is going to happen on this piece, or because the proportion has gone higher, it will take some time?
So I'll tell you what is happening. Our focus on, earlier we had a focus on building retail and changing the mix. See, our long-term strategy remains the same, which is as more and more cohorts of Indian customers move into what we would call the consuming segment in India, consumers of branded mid-market hotels, then presumably there would be an increase in demand and therefore an increase in pricing. However, what's happened is a lot of corporate customers today book through OTAs, for example. And like MyBiz of Make My Trip, I mean, there are multiple such channels through which they bid. So when we are defining it as OTA, actually it has also got corporate customers. So one reason is this, but the second reason is our focus is actually on filling our valleys, which is more in, we found that because we've increased our corporate and at good rates, we are able to fill the weekdays, but we are not able to fill the weekends. So to get the weekends, you have to focus on staycations, you have to focus on, you know, nice offers, so on and so forth, in order to bring customers to you on the time, at the time when you need them. So one reason is also, and I think it is, you know, it varies year on year. This time it is a bigger focus on filling our trust. After all, if we have grown from, you know, if you look at our growth of occupancy, it is partly led by some weekend demand growth. And that is driven by lower prices. So this is an overview. I mean, I'm sure there are many reasons for this, which, you know, we look at. But I'm trying to give you an overview of why this is happening. But the good news for me is that overall, the ARR grew 10%. Okay. And the negotiated business ARR grew 9%, and the non-negotiated, which is OTA, LT and other FITs, grew 10%.
Great, sir. Thanks a lot for this mention. And all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jay Chauhan from Trinetra Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Hello. I'm audible?
Yes, you're audible, Jay.
Good afternoon, sir, and thank you for this opportunity. I just have one question. While I can see company focus is clearly on expanding the core hotel brands, could you share your long-term perspective on growing trend of villas and alternative accommodations?
So, currently, I am not convinced that we have the... See, we are in the mid-market. Villas, alternate accommodations is an asset class where we don't personally currently have the competence. So we don't want to lose focus. We are very clear. We want to focus from 2.5-star to 4.5-star. That means basically mid-scale, upper mid-scale and upscale. We think the opportunity is so big in India that we don't want to go and start dabbling in other areas or pivoting our business model. So for the time being, I do not see us at all focusing here. Though I know that many people are, we will not.
Right, sir. Right, sir. Understood. And sir, what I understand from a local market perspective, like for example, Uttarakhand, there are some type of asset structures like resorts work well there, or maybe you know, like this is something that I've heard. So, what are your views on it?
Well, resorts, certainly discretionary travel into vacation, leisure, pleasure, all that is doing well. We don't own hotels there, but in that, see, we have very few owned hotels in the leisure segment. But a majority of our managed hotels, or at least 50%, are in the leisure segment. So we are interested in it. We are interested in managing resorts. We are interested in managing any vacation destination. But we don't, other than Aurika Udaipur or Goa hotels and what we are building in Shimla, we are not currently looking at putting any capital at resorts currently.
Got it, sir. Understood. That's from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil from Kizuna Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thank you for giving me the opportunity and congratulations on a good set of numbers. So my first question is, like, how much debt are we targeting to reduce this year?
If we list clear, we will be debt-free. Otherwise, we reduce by 250 crores a quarter.
Okay, sir, that's great to hear. And sir, when we are transferring our assets to Fleur, so will there be any kind of consideration on the cash basis or any kind of stock whenever our percentage of shareholding increases in Fleur?
That is subject to the committee of directors. There is one committee of directors in Lemon Tree, one committee of directors in Fleur. So if you are a patient like I am being, then you will get to know, I think, in a few months. Perhaps by the next call.
Okay, that's great to hear. And sir, like in our managed hotel network, sir, how is the occupancy and ADRs in that space, in that segment?
It is, well, if you look at the business hotel side, it is similar to us. If you look at the leisure hotel side, it is a little lower.
Okay, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you for giving the opportunity and congratulations and all the very best.
Thank you. Thank you, Nikhil.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Suchrit D. Patil from Eyesight FinTrade Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yeah, Suchrit, you are. Good afternoon.
Yes, hi. My name is Suprut Patil. Good afternoon. As Lemon Tree is thinking about scaling over the next few years, especially with the mix of owned and managed properties evolving, how are you planning growth between new geography segments or formats that may not have been core to your plan before? And if some of these bets, say tier 2 or tier 3 cities or the premium category, do not play out as you had planned, what kind of contingencies or backups do you have in place to protect margins and maintain growth momentum? Yes, thank you.
So, Sukrit, Tier 2 and 3, we are not investing capital, just FYI.
Okay.
Our general approach to capital allocation is we will invest capital where we see high demand today and where we see a return on capital which meets a hurdle rate. So we are happy to compete in an area where there is high demand and high supply. But we will not go and invest in markets where there may be future high demand which has not yet materialized, in which case if it comes, then we will be happy to consider investing there. So capital allocation will be very disciplined. It will be in markets where we feel with a competitive advantage and our modes of expenditure and so on, cost control, we feel we will be able to give a return basically of capital within, once it stabilizes, of 20%. So we are very, very clear on that. Now let's come to tier 2 and tier 3. The way we look at it is we have an opportunistic approach and a strategic approach. Opportunistic is any owner who comes to us, and right now let me say I'm told there are 800-900 hotel owners who are in talks with our business development team, and obviously there will be drop-offs at different levels, but we have a very healthy pipeline of potential growth in the asset light side. We do not have such a healthy pipeline in the growth of franchise, which is what we are wanting to activate now, which are smaller hotels across many tier 2, tier 3, tier 4 cities. As far as strategic growth goes, as I had mentioned earlier, there are 180 to 200 cities which have currently high connectivity or will have high connectivity in the next 2-3 years based on the plans that have been announced. And these cities are where we want to have a hotel, although not our own hotel, but a hotel that we manage in order to make customers familiar with the Lemon Tree brand across India. Our general view has been that once we put a hotel in a city, the number of customers from that city who travel to other cities where we have hotels, they increase. So if, you know, before we had a hotel in Calcutta, we were getting 100 guys from Calcutta every day. After we put up a hotel in Calcutta, we were getting 200 guys every day staying in our hotels. So basically, it's a visibility and network strategy we are focusing on. And we will basically drive it through an asset-light strategy.
Okay. So
does that make sense?
Yes. Just to close the loop, would I be right to assume from what you have just given through a guidance that a franchisee model would be in the cards of Lemon Tree in the next coming quarter?
No, it will be our focus for the Keys brands, not the Lemon Tree brands, which are far more coherent. Keys will be a soft brand. If you have noticed, many of our many of the listed companies in the brand space have launched what are called soft brands. Interestingly, even Marriott has launched a soft brand called Series. So most of the hotel companies of some scale operating in India have launched soft brands. This is to cover for those hotels that have been built by individuals, and there are 1.2 million such rooms, which have been built tiny. That means it's 30 to 40 rooms. It does not make sense to manage them, because while you manage, you get 17% of EBITDA, but if you franchise, you get 10-11% of EBITDA, and you don't have to actually do anything more than just distribute and sell that product. So when you have disparate hotels, you cannot brand them coherently. You have to have a soft brand which makes a commitment on quality, security, safety and hygiene with the umbrella brand of Lemon Tree, but it will not be branded Lemon Tree. And yes, we want to hypercharge that part of the business and go after franchise branding, franchising in a very big way. And that's one of the reasons somebody asked me earlier, that is one of the strengths that Nilendra has.
Thank you very much for your guidance and best of luck for all your business ventures.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vikram from Vikram Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, namaste. Congratulations on a great set of numbers. Just curious about how the shareholding will look after the demergers are done. So how much of Fleur will Lemon Tree hold? And what is the plan of the listing? Will you demerge it first or will we get a one-on-one stock for each share? I think the last time you had spoken about this, you had said there will be a massive value unlocking. But I'm just curious on how the shareholding will look like and how what the...
That is, again, Vikram, that is more the role. That is why we have set up two committees of directors in Lemon Tree and in Fleo. I think clarity will come once they come back with their recommendations. And obviously we are looking at, we have said, at a potential demerger. So how it works, how will the demerger work is something that they have to come back with their recommendations to the board to. And once it is approved by the board and we file such a scheme, then I think everybody will be aware of it. And, you know, then this will answer your question there.
So do we expect some sort of announcement this financial year?
Definitely.
Oh, fabulous. And lastly, sir, what will Le Fleur, the asset-heavy business, maximize out, like in terms of rooms? Will they ever keep expanding or will they top out at 4,000, 3,000 rooms?
Fleur already has 6,000 and our intent is obviously to cross 10,000, 15,000. If it happens, you will see it.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bharat Jiani from Money Control Pro. Please go ahead.
So thanks for the opportunity. Just one clarification. Before the floor listing happens, any property that we sought to acquire on the own or lease basis, that will be under wholly owned Lemon Tree subsidiary or the 60-40% Lemon Tree and floor? So just one clarification on that.
I think it will be... I mean, it is subject to obviously discussions with boards, but I would expect it would all be in Fleur.
Okay, sir. Thanks. Thanks for all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you once again for your interest and support. We'll continue to stay engaged. Please be in touch with our investor relations team for any further details or discussions. And we look forward to interacting with you soon and answering many of these questions also very soon. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Lemon Tree Hotels, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.